Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I think both John and I were both sending out some posts on X about this. We sent out a couple of tweets about this. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, who is President Trump's pick to head the EPA, doing a great job. I mean, he's the guy who stopped the $20 billion gold bars being thrown off the Titanic, basically into the ocean. He stopped the $20 billion green scam that the Biden regime was trying to do on the way out the door. Well, now he is bringing a halt to this joke of a museum. The Climate Change Shrine is what Lee Zeldin was referring to it as, the EPA Museum back at the EPA headquarters in Washington, D.C. First off, John, great to see you. Thanks for joining us here every Tuesday on Montana Talks. Always good to have you on the show.
Good morning, sir. And what were you saying? They're trying to say it was 600,000 a year just to maintain
it. Yeah. So I went into Grok here, you know, which is Elon Musk's AI platform, because, you know, I went to journalism school at the University of Montana. If I was good at math, I would have gone to engineering school, or I would have gone to like Montana Tech or something. Right. So I go to Grok. I say, hey, Grok, if this museum cost $4 million to build, and then let's just say in the first year it's $600,000 to maintain this stinking museum, which is apparently the size of an apartment. That's how small this museum is. $4 million to build, $600,000 every year to maintain it. Apparently, since the museum was first built, it's only had about 1,900 visitors. 1,909 visitors have visited this museum. So I asked Grok, I said, okay, let's just take the first year. Let's take, you know, $4 million to build, $600,000 to operate this thing. What is the cost per visitor? This is the cost per visitor, $2,409.64. That's what you and I are paying for one person to go visit the stupid climate change shrine at the EPA headquarters.
Tell me, what do you have to do to maintain a museum for $600,000 a year? What do you got to do? Send Maria Conchita Alonso in there to do it, you know, with the vacuum cleaner, a little duster? She needs $600,000 a year to do that for the maintenance of this museum that's probably as big as your studio here.
Security, John. Security. We can't fund security guards for your kid's school, but we can fund security guards for the stupid climate change shrine at the EPA. I don't think the people that burn down police precincts and burn down Tesla car dealerships are going to go burn down the EPA museum, you know, unless Elon Musk happens to pay it a visit. Right?
What you just referred to a minute ago about what Lee Zeldin found and what everybody on the internet found was this remark by this guy, this government employee, talking about them throwing gold bars off the Titanic. I mean, there is not a more perfect analogy than that about what these Democrats do every day. And when they throw those gold bars off the Titanic, they're not going into a boat. They're going right to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, just throwing it overboard. Man overboard. Well, you can't say man. That's too gender specific for these Democrats.
Securing America.
Admiral Bill Houston, the director of the Navy's nuclear propulsion program, was a guest of the Navy's SITREP discussion series Monday, where much of the conversation was focused on America's fleet of submarines. Admiral Houston says there's been a big change since the 90s, when no new subs were built for 6 years.
We are right now building more submarines in terms of tonnage than we did at the height of the Cold War. And that mountain of submarines we need to construct is only going up.
Admiral Houston also described why our subs are so important to national security, citing the nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarines, SSBNs, as an example.
In less than 1 hour, they can deliver more firepower than was delivered in all of World War II.
The Admiral adding,
if we ever go to combat, it's not going to be a fair fight, and that's just the way I want it, because we do have the best people and the best platforms.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There are calls by some liberals to oust Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer as the top Democrat in the Senate. There's anger at Schumer for helping break a filibuster on the GOP spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. Removing Schumer or any Senate leader is mostly unprecedented. Unlike the Speaker of the House, the full Senate doesn't elect its leaders. Whomever is the majority or minority leader is up to the Senate Republican Conference and the Senate Democratic Caucus. The only model close to where the Senate removed one of its leaders came in late 2002. Former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott spoke at the 100th birthday party for late South Carolina Senator Strom Thurmond. At the party, Lott suggested that the country may have been better off had it elected Thurmond president in the 1940s. Thurmond ran as a segregationist, and support of that language did not work in 2002. By the end of the year, Lott saw pressure mounting against him. The administration of President George W. Bush was trying behind the scenes to oust Lott, and Lott stepped aside. But there was never a formal move to relieve Lott of his duties. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's start with Social Security. This is a topic both John Jackson and I wanted to cover. Yeah, Elon Musk and his Doge team did an in-depth interview. It was about 40 minutes long with Brett Baer the other day, and they talked a lot about Social Security. John, is that also where the illegal aliens, the non-citizens getting Social Security numbers, did it come from the Brett Baer interview, or was it somewhere else? I know I saw you share the video on X.
It's a separate presentation that guy, Antonio Gracias, did with a group in which it was televised and streamed and everything. And Antonio Gracias is a member. He's like one of the bosses of the Doge Committee. And he was pointing out how the process, how every one of these illegals, as they came across the border, was given paperwork and given a Social Security number, for Christ's sake. And then they've already, this was to get them on all of our entitlement programs. They have now tracked at least 1.3 million of them already on Medicaid. And they just took a random sample of them and they got them voting too.
Yeah, so I just saw Fox News Radio had the numbers because I was listening to part of the transcript audio with the Brett Baer interview earlier this morning, and they were talking about how like 40% of the phone calls that go into the Social Security Administration are fraudsters. And oftentimes these fraudsters are successful in redirecting your Social Security payments to their bank account. And it's like, how does that happen? And so that's another reminder of how Doge is going to make it better for the people that are actually supposed to be getting their Social Security money, right? But then, yes, yeah, separately, there's this, how many, you know, Social Security numbers were given to illegal aliens or non-citizens? Elon Musk, this is according to Fox News Radio, Madeline Rivera, over 2 million non-citizens reportedly received Social Security numbers in FY 2024 compared to just 270,000 in fiscal year 2021. And so, yeah, now, then what's so outrageous about this is what they want to do is there's several angles to this. One is they want to give illegal aliens the Social Security card, so it gives them the appearance of legality when trying to get a job or when getting federal government benefits. And that's exactly what they did. They then give the illegals the Social Security card or number, and then they take that and say, oh yeah, and by the way, here's your free this, here's your free that.
Imagine, what have we heard for the last 25, 30 years, Aaron? We have heard from our very own politicians that these entitlement programs are going bankrupt. They are not solvent, okay? And what does Joe Biden and his communist band of thugs do? Bring in the scum of the third world into this country and put them on these very programs who are already teetering on bankruptcy. And I tell you this thing about the phone calls into Social Security, we got into this on those Spaces the other day. That is being used as a pretext for them to get rid of the telephone customer service. Social Security. And I'm here to tell you, absolutely not. Okay? If you are going, because you know, Social Security is going nowhere. They are going to continue stealing our money every 2 weeks. So, by God, you people better have people there to answer the phone for these seniors who you know can't get online and do all these very complicated things to make a problem get solved. You know they
even
can't.
If they have a cell phone, it's not a smartphone. And yeah. Even if it was a smartphone, they don't want to tinker around with that. And then how many times have people tried to get a hold of the federal government? And good luck, even if you know how to use the technology, half the times. Let's sneak in a phone call here before we get to the first break here. We've got Francis in Big Fork. Speaking of Elon Musk. Yeah, Francis, what's your thoughts on all these attacks on the Teslas and more?
Well, it's pretty stupid, you know, considering they love electric cars. And also, you know, Elon Musk only owns 20% of the Tesla stock. So all they're doing is hurting all the other people, and that's a general idea. You know, they got to get rid of the people and their businesses so that they can take over like they did in Cuba when they took everybody's land, and now everybody down there is about a slave. They can't even use the beaches unless you're in the military. And so, you know, they're trying to take over this country so there can be a few dictators, you know, just like Venezuela.
Well, it's about weaponization. It's about political weaponization against anybody they see as their enemy and their threat. It was like a lot of people have made this reference, John and Francis, thanks for the call. They said, look, when a bunch of Americans, conservatives in particular, didn't like what Bud Light did with the transgender activists, they didn't go burn down Bud Light distributorships and burn down, you know, Bud Light semi-trucks. They just drank different beers. But these guys, they got to burn down anybody, even somebody they were, you know. Yeah, anyway, it's a great point.
It took a former Wall Street Journal reporter about a couple of days to pull up the money. All these people, this Tesla takeover madness, he traced that to 24 different NGO groups who have a total of $124 million that they are using to fund domestic terrorism right here in the United States. And this, all of this, I mean, hello, Pam Bondi, where are you? Get on this stuff right now. Freeze this money. Strip this money. Arrest and jail these people.
So, well, speaking of Pam Bondi, the libs of TikTok, about 14 hours ago, Pam Bondi announces charges against Cooper Frederick for firebombing a Tesla dealership in Loveland, Colorado. He faces up to 20 years in prison. Look at that soy boy there, John.
Cut the money. You have to arrest these people.
Not just him, but the people funding
their money.
Him. Yeah,
yes.
Good point. Yeah, all right, hold that thought.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
We're not adults, so just be there and, like, listen. I just want someone to react to. And I just feel like I'll be fine, like, if someone just hears me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
You're doing a really good job. And I don't think I tell you that enough. And I know sometimes we get into it and it's just hard on both of us. But you'll try to understand me more, and I'll try to do the same.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Fox rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino. Billy Corgan is celebrating several Smashing Pumpkins milestones this year, but he's doing it without his longtime bandmates. Instead, Corgan is forming a new group called Billy Corgan and the Machines of God, featuring drummer Jack Hayden, bassist Jenna Fournier, and guitarist Kiki Wong. The band's Return to Zero tour kicks off June 7th in Baltimore, featuring songs from the iconic 1995 album Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. Corgan will also mark the 30th anniversary of the album with a special 7-night run at Chicago's Lyric Opera from November 21st to the 30th. Miley Cyrus just dropped the first two songs from her upcoming album Something Beautiful, along with two music videos, the first Prelude and mostly spoken word piece. She followed that up with the album's title track, The song, Something Beautiful, features a psychedelic rock chorus. The album is due out May 30th. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, before we start covering a million different topics, let's just jump right back into the phone lines here. We've got the mighty Human Z on the phone lines. And, of course, John, you know, does a podcast of Behind Enemy Lines on Rumble with the mighty Human Z. Z, what's going on? Thanks for the call this morning.
Great Lakes Greens, we got ice damage on the Mackinac Bridge up here. So Michigan's an interesting state to be in today. Beth, good morning, good morning. Hey, look, I'm calling about Social Security there, and John was just talking about the $5 million that they found. The safety Sally's, and the safety Sally is sort of this bureaucrat, usually a woman in her 50s that says, no, can't do that, they're alive at you, right? Safety Sally's now are saying that DOGE cannot rewrite the Social Security software. I think this is important for people to know. So DOGE proposed that they could rewrite this software in 3 months. Well, whether they can do it 3 months or a year, I say at least let them try, see what they can do in 3 months, because otherwise we have 60 million lines of mess, and it can't be any worse than it is now. So this is real important that we get this moment to do this. And if we all remember FDR and the Tennessee Valley Authority, and that was our government's experiment to show that government can do things better than business, well, then this is the same type of thing. We should let DOGE do that. But it's interesting that they don't, because the safety Sally's come along and, no, you're not allowed.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. You could build the system and then not actually implement it, but you could build the system, test it out, try it out, et cetera, things like that. So, yeah, great point there by Z. Z, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. John, any thoughts?
Yeah, obviously the reason that people don't want that to happen is what we talked about in the previous segment, is this is the source of all of it, those Social Security numbers. That's their foot in the door for all of these illegals into your society. They want that software set up just like it is so they can trick it out and give it to all the illegals. And you know Elon and DOGE would put protections in there to prevent that. The system would automatically flag it. It would be asking for all your documents, like it should. That's why they don't want any of that to be redone.
Well, and that reminded me too. I remember there was a business story about how, you know, you had these businesses that really did not want to hire illegal aliens when they were hiring employees, and they were told, "Oh, just enter in all zeros," and that's how they were told. Because basically the Biden regime was forcing them, was telling them to hire illegal aliens.
Do you know, you ever heard of the company called Sheetz, Sheetz? It's a like gasoline and convenience store. I know they have them in North Carolina. They're big, big places, like a Holiday, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like that here in Montana.
East Coast. I think I've seen them on the East Coast before.
They got sued by the Biden regime for conducting background investigations on their employees. If you can believe that, and you knew immediately what that was saying you will not do backgrounds to determine if these people are the illegals. You knew right away.
They did that to Elon Musk at SpaceX because he only wanted to hire U.S. citizens. You know, SpaceX does a lot of work, some of it, I'm assuming, top secret work with our space program and things like that. And the Biden administration sued Elon Musk for only wanting to hire American citizens. It is so insane. Speak back to Elon Musk here as well. I want to play, this is a clip. Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News had Charlie Kirk on her program, and she was talking about just how sociopathic the left is now with these attacks on Tesla, Cybertrucks, any Tesla dealerships and things like that. And she was talking to Charlie Kirk about that, and Charlie Kirk weighed in on why he believes the left is so sociopathic when it comes to Elon Musk, really, and Donald J. Trump. Because you think about it, well, anyway, I'll just play the Charlie Kirk clip, and then you'll get the gist.
It's two primary things. Just like President Trump, he's a class traitor. He used to be part of the ruling class of the country, and he decided to defect from the orthodoxy of what it means to be a wealthy, polite person in America, and said, you know what? No, I'm not going to go along with the zeitgeist of the times. I'm going to challenge this idea that we have open borders and that we're wasting all this money. So he is a class traitor, and President Trump is the most popular class traitor of this generation. So President Trump and Elon Musk have that in common. But number two is he used
to... All right, yeah, so we'll hold it right there. You can find the full video at foxnews.com/video. But, yeah, that point that he's making, the left has even more hatred. I mean, a lot of them despise conservatives, despise Trump supporters, right? They despise flyover country here in America. They think we're all a bunch of hicks and rednecks, and you know, but they have even more. They have a special kind of hatred for somebody like Elon Musk. I mean, I was thinking about this, John. You know, in Big Timber, Montana, or really, or you could think anywhere where you see these electric vehicle charging stations, but I think of Big Timber because, like, okay, so you got the Fort gas station, great gas station. I mean, they got a gun store. They got everything there. Yeah, sorry, I had your mic off there for a second, but you've been to the Fort before, right?
Yeah, it's great.
And they got everything, right?
Yeah, gun store.
Yeah, so I'll go there. You know, I'm pulling my camper, and I'll go there, and I'll gas up, and I pull in, and then I, you know, you walk inside, maybe get some snacks, hit the restroom, whatever, and you come back out, and then whoop, off I go with my camper and my pickup, right? And I see the people sitting there in their Teslas just waiting, charging their vehicle. And I just got to laugh because it's like, man, like they're, I mean, yeah, in a way it's nice that you can just pull up and charge or whatever, but like, and gas, especially when gas can be expensive. But I'm like, man, you ain't pulling a camper and you don't get to go to some of the places I get to go to, you know, because of, with my camper. But I also think back, man, maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, because of all these EV mandates, I wonder what it was like for the guy sitting in the Tesla, say in Big Timber, Montana, charging his vehicle. I wonder if like 2, 3 years ago, you would get kind of sneers. You'd get kind of like weird or maybe even angry looks from people kind of scoffing at you. Oh, come on, you know. And then now it's like the total opposite where they might be like, hey, you got a Tesla. Yeah, cool, man. Elon Musk and Doge. And it's probably some, you know, anyway, I just think it'd be funny to chat with a guy in Big Timber, Montana, charging his Tesla that, okay, how is now different than, say, 2 years ago? Because, yeah, if you were in L.A. or one of these other places, I mean, man, they would try to run you off the road if you're driving a Tesla now.
Well, you know, these morons out here that are doing all this vandalism, they don't understand that those Cybertrucks have all the way around perimeter cameras that catch you in living color, in very, very good color pictures of you doing what you're doing. And see what happened to Elon Musk is? He's the richest man in the world for a reason, in that he sees the future. And he was operating Twitter for a couple of years with some free speech out there and letting people put out stories they wanted to put out. So he knew coming into last summer and last spring, he knew if he didn't get on board with President Trump, not only was President Trump going to be put in jail after November, but he and his companies were going to be hounded into bankruptcy, and he was probably going to jail too.
All right, let's go to Tom in Whitefish. Apparently, Tom has a personal story about Doge and Social Security. Tom, what's the story?
Well, the story is, Aaron, that my wife became executive of her grandma's estate and found out that for 14 years, Social Security kept paying into the bank account. So she reached out trying to get them to be able to take that money back, and they said it'd take 10 years, up to 10 years to get that money back. So she ends up calling Zinke's office, and the gal there that's working for Zinke, she deserves a raise. She was able to make a few contacts, called the Treasury, called Social Security. They said, oh, yeah, just do it, you know, write a check for this amount. And we're talking over $100,000, but no paper trail. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I want a paper trail. So I'm one, you know, and it's still unresolved, but at least action's starting to happen. But I'm wondering if they can't do a paper trail because then all these other people receiving Social Security payments, and, you know, they're going to be held accountable, too.
Yeah, I remember reading. I remember reading about that story. Yeah, here's a Montana woman, basically working to do the right thing. Hey, these Social Security payments are coming in. They shouldn't be, and she's probably trying to cover her backside too to make sure they don't try to come after her. But to try to return money to the federal government, couldn't do it. And then, boom, day one, when it first gets presented to the Elon Musk and the Trump team vis-a-vis Ryan Zinke's office, the issue gets fixed just like that. It's a crazy story. I remember reading about it, a month or so ago.
I can tell you from personal experience, one of the worst debacles you will be involved in is if you ever try to, in big quotes, do the right thing with the federal government with money. A lot of times, like, say you try to do something like this, you try to point out how, hey, this money right here shouldn't be here. They will end up coming after you and penalizing you for something you didn't even do. So many times, these bureaucracies, it's just better to be quiet. And if they eventually come out and say, "Oh no, this is a mistake here," then you say, "Okay, how do we fix it?" But you bringing it up, I mean, I don't know how many times in my career I did stuff like this, and I learned not to do it ever again because it's like throwing a ball at a wall. It just bounces off the wall and clocks you right in the head.
Yeah, I got to find that story because I can't remember if it was something on X or where it was. You know, the liberal media, it didn't make a big deal out of it. So good luck trying to find a news article on it. But I remember seeing that exact story that Tom and Whitefish just shared of how hard it is for an honest citizen to return these federal government payments. And then we wonder how easy it is for illegal aliens, criminals, and fraudsters to get this money, to get our money, and hold on to it, and never really be held accountable.
Them changing up that software inside of Social Security would prevent things like this, okay? That's what this would stop right away.
All right, let me see if I found that story. I'll try to find that story during the break. If not, that's all right. We'll drive on. We got more callers on the phone lines, 406-294-0970, and still some stuff we haven't gotten to yet for sure.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with John Jackson, the Joker from X in the house. I know you want to talk about these lawless judges. We saw the lawfare against President Trump. We've seen the lawfare against our great Attorney General Austin Knutson here in Montana as well. There are efforts right now on Capitol Hill to rein in these rogue judges, especially when it comes to these nationwide injunctions. But I want to get John's take on that here in just a second. But first, let's sneak in another caller. Frank in Evergreen, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I want to talk about Canadian Social Insurance and your hospital system up there. Before the illegal invasion of aliens arrived, it's didn't work at all. You'd be waiting long lines, maybe months, for a regular procedure from a doctor's office to wait for horror. But now they're giving out free social insurance to these immigrants up there, whatever you want to call them. They're still illegal. So they're giving the same kind of greetings.
Benefits, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so, but the Canadian government is controlling the press up there. The Canadians know this is a problem. I met a nurse. She moved down here because she couldn't afford to live up there and make any money because it's a system that doesn't work and they're overworked and doctors even can't survive up there. It's just they're so swamped.
Wow, that's very interesting. So if you think we knew it was bad before, but if you thought it was bad before, now Canada has had a whole bunch of migrants that have flooded their country as well. And then there's their government giving all these free perks. So you've got more people competing for that small amount of resources. So if you thought it was bad before, it's even worse in Canada now. Yeah, John, because we've all heard the stories and seen the license plates. I mean, Great Falls, Montana, for example. How many Canadians come down to Great Falls, Montana to get health care because it wasn't available for them up north, even though they're supposed to have free health care up there, right? And so with this idea of this Social Security discussion that we've been having, what has been the Social Security for Canadians? What's been the military security for Canadians? I'm not saying that, you know, they have a great military up there as well. What is the security blanket for Canada? It's the United States of America. And yet they want to boo our flag during the national anthem, and they put these clowns like Justin Trudeau in office, and it's like, and we're the security blanket.
The United States, man. Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Guantanamo.
We are their security blanket. I got a prediction for you on Canada right now, Aaron. You know this whole tariff fight where Trump is telling the Canadians, you're going to pay your fair share from now, and we're going to have reciprocal tariffs with you from now. We're tired of getting ripped off. And Canada's talking really tough. But he just had a call with them the other day, and you know they got their elections coming up. And supposedly the tariffs are going into place tomorrow, and Trump had a call with Carney the other day.
Carney is smells like cabbage,
beating in eyes.
So that's Colonel Sanders.
Talking tough, but he said Carney said. Trump said, I had a great conversation with Carney, and we're going to talk again after the election. And see, that guarantee, he's talking tough right now to get himself elected, and as soon as he gets himself elected, I think it's later in April, guarantee it, they're going to bend the knee the next day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, and it's interesting, too, because you would think that Trump would instead want to be helping Pierre Poilievre, the more conservative guy up there, but that's why something Trump said a couple weeks ago was very telling. He said that he actually thinks he would have an easier time with the more liberal, with a more liberal prime minister. Basically, what Trump is saying is like, I can roll over one of these liberal prime ministers. But the liberal prime minister candidate is talking tough. Oh, yeah, I'm going to stand up to Trump and stand up to the United States. He's another wimpy Justin Trudeau type. But some Canadians will fall for that tough guy shtick when they could have had Pierre. They could have Pierre Poilievre. But no, they're going to get some wimp, another Justin Trudeau, and that's what Trump is seeing. Is like, okay, I'm going to be able to roll this guy.
Well, you see, Pierre is talking tough too. He's oh no, I would stand up to Donald Trump. We will fight this tariff war. Blah blah. They're all just talking tough for this election, and as soon as it's over, that's my prediction.
Yeah,
as soon as it's over, they will bend the knee.
Yeah, I think let's mark that. Let's time. I think he's going to be right. I think he's going to be right. Before we talk judges, let's go to Kat in Eastern Montana. Kat, thanks for the call.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you to our veterans. I wanted to let Montana know that I started a weekly Spaces with one of your listeners, Richard from Jordan. It's every Friday night, and this Friday we're going to talk about NGOs funneling illegals into Montana. But for the record, I am super fired up because school choice didn't pass. I'm not sure if you guys got that memo since I've been screaming about it on X. So in response to this travesty, because Montana ranks 30th in the nation, I'm taking action. I will be finding a way to draft an appropriate bill that will suit the needs of our state. I will fight the naysayers, world propaganda, and teachers' unions to introduce a big, beautiful bill to liberate the students and families of Montana. Because if you want something done, guys, it's best to do it yourself. You guys have a great day, and God bless.
All right, you too, Kat. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Yeah, John, I don't know if you were following the latest school choice bill in the Montana legislature. I was chatting, you know, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. They've been big backers of school choice. So is the Frontier Institute and, you know, several other organizations. They've got a great school choice coalition here in Montana, but what was interesting about the demise of that school choice bill, I think it was called the MAPS bill, something like that, 320, if I'm not mistaken, was that you had some moderate Republicans vote against it, but then you had some of what might be considered the more far-right members of the legislature also vote against it because they thought that it would somehow impede on homeschoolers, that it would put regulations on homeschoolers, even though Henry said that would not be the case. And so it was kind of one of those bootleggers and Baptist-type things teamed up to kill that school choice bill.
You know what you need? You need to have, like, say, as the legislature, an independent, nonpartisan, say, legal team or just one attorney to go over these bills and point out these things to you. Say, point out, the language here, it would affect homeschoolers or it wouldn't. Tell these people to their faces, this is my legal opinion on this, so that you can eliminate all this. Oh, it's going to do that, another thing. No, that's not what the attorney said, no.
Well, and apparently that was communicated because they, as Henry told us at least, they had an amendment. The overall bill was not supported by the, it wasn't supported nor opposed by the homeschool folks, the association. But an amendment to the bill was supported by the homeschool folks to provide further protection if needed for homeschoolers. But even then, some still voted against it because I think part of the, part of the challenge with the legislature is sometimes you can't get people organized and activated and engaged in the process. And then other times you get some people that get a little too involved in the process and then start second guessing some of the experts out there, right? And they don't trust anybody, what anybody will tell them about a bill. And like one of my biggest concerns right now is you and I have talked about this. Okay, what is the legislature going to do to protect your rights as a parent to your kids' records at the hospital? If these hospitals are going to say, nope, John, your kid's a teenager, you don't get access to your kid's medical records. What? And that's one of my big concerns because from what I'm hearing in Helena is that bill may not go forward. And it's like, okay, I get it. If a House bill is not perfect for you, well, that House bill may be the only path to getting something accomplished. Because if it didn't go through one of the chambers before the transmittal deadline, then it can't go through after the transmittal deadline. And a lot of people, they don't understand the tactics or the strategy behind the scenes. Well, but yet they'll want to come in and say, yeah, kill the bill, kill the bill, kill the bill. And then they call their buddies on Facebook. And it's like, guys, call the Montana Family Foundation or something. Call a friend if you need a little bit of help with some of this stuff. But you might be killing the very bill, and then we got to wait 2 more years to get parents' rights protected again.
The thing where this all goes wrong, where all the strategy falls apart, is in leadership. Okay, look at the Democrats. Think WWDD. What would Democrats do? Okay, Democrats first and foremost. That person at the top. You got Nancy Pelosi, or say Hakeem Jeffries, or Chuck Schumer, or Joe Biden, or Barack Obama. You know that person is a far left agenda true believer. So everybody knows going in, they are all about the agenda. So follow what I say. Secondly, you have got that person at the top has also then got to impose their iron fist will on everybody underneath them. You will follow through with this agenda or you're gone. You know, we will do you in. You'll do one term here and you're out.
All right. More with John Jackson, the Joker from X. You're sticking around for the 9 o'clock hour too, right? Good, because I was kind of banking on that. In fact, I was just thinking, I'll just go downstairs and have a cup of coffee and just,
Dude, I got you covered.
Take the hour off. What the heck? Why not? I mean, John always does a great job. All right, back after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Remember, they're trying to clean out the deep state. Like, for example, CIA, intelligence community, FBI, restore it to its former greatness, stop the weaponization of justice. Let's start with that. DOGE would be another massive undertaking. And then another massive undertaking would be deporting known terrorists in the country, cartel members, gang members, murderers, and rapists. These are all big undertakings. Turning the economy around and getting it done through reconciliation, whether it's peace in Europe, peace in the Middle East, energy dominance, there's not one thing that I'm mentioning here that is not transformational, but is also not a very heavy lift for this White House.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's all you hear about, but how far away is it? And what are the potential threats from AI that could totally upend the way Americans live their lives? What will it do to the job market? What will the unemployment rate be? What does it mean for data privacy or cybersecurity? How about the banking system or national security? The ECB has already warned about a bubble in AI stocks. Could this spread to other sectors? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, this may not be the time to wait and find out. Learn how you could help protect your life savings using precious metals like gold and silver. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. One more time, visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Buying a firearm in Washington State could soon be more expensive with what you pay going to the state's coffers. A bill is making its way through the Washington State Legislature that is already getting lots of praise from the state's attorney general. It is a proposed law that would add the requirement of a purchasing permit when seeking to buy a gun. That permit application and processing fee could be as high as $200, according to some sources, and it could cost the applicant further if they're made to retake a firearm safety course. While its proponents say it will make children safer, the bill's opponents say it could add an additional 30 days of processing time by the state to Washington's existing 10-day wait period. They plan to fight it, saying it can't pass the U.S. Supreme Court's history and tradition test. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Oh, man, this is great. Earlier, we were talking about Elon Musk and Tesla and the vandalism and all of that. And I just threw it out there. I said, yeah, it'd be really interesting to hear from a Tesla driver. What was it like charging your Tesla 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, compared to now? We got Trevor in Anaconda listening to KXTL. Trevor, thanks for calling in. I understand you've got a Tesla.
Yeah. Listening to you this morning cracked me up because the difference from years ago to today is it's pretty wild. We were early adopters. We had our first one for 8 years. And so we experienced all the craziness back when we first switched over to Tesla, with having people block us at chargers in their diesel trucks and kind of harass you. And I grew up in oil and gas country and kind of a self-proclaimed conservative hippie, so it didn't bother me too much. And I'm a concealed carry permit holder, so there's a few times we've had some interactions. And then it's wild to see the opposite. Now I'm getting those type of folks asking me questions and talking to me about it, and then those kind of blue-haired hippies that now I need to be carrying and my concealed carry because of those folks. It's a pretty wild dynamic change.
That's hilarious. I mean, it is and it isn't, but it's like, yeah, like before it was like, hey, what are you doing here, boy, with that Tesla? You know, now they're like, hey, you like Elon too, you know, they love you now.
Yeah.
And the angry blue hairs are like, you know, wanting to key your Tesla. See, my favorite Tesla that I first saw a Tesla in Billings a few years ago, and it was my favorite Tesla because the license plate said coal power. Because where does electricity come from? Most of it, right?
Yeah. Oh, in Montana, it's hydropower. We work. My wife works for hydro, so I got to put a plug in for that. So,
there you go, especially in the West, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, I have so many stories I don't want to keep you, but I just had to call in and say, in the hypocrisy, I've been pretty active conservationist my entire life because I grew up with gas flares and all that in oil and gas country. And to see the people that, you know, proclaim to care about those things flip-flop just because they don't like Elon or whatever, and the hypocrisy has really been eye-opening for me personally. It's ridiculous that if you just don't like someone doesn't mean that all of a sudden if you say you cared about the environment and all those things, now they just go out the window. And
yeah, like Mark Kelly, the Democrat senator from Arizona, trading in his Tesla for a gas-guzzling SUV. I mean, what a hypocrite. It's like, and just, yeah, you said you got more stories. What would be one more story that you'd want to share? John here also was wondering, if you're worried about getting vandalized now, especially, at, you know, you're close to Butte, big Democrat stronghold.
The weird thing is I feel more comfortable being in Montana that I've seen all these stories If we were in a more liberal area, I think we'd be driving our truck, not a Tesla, which is a hilarious thing to say. One of the wild stories is I was one of the original adopters, so I stood in line to reserve mine, and standing in line in 2015 during the primaries, it was still not clear that Trump was going to win, and I remember standing there with one of my friends and just some older liberals behind us going off and laughing about how they're watching the Republican Party implode and that Trump's great because it's going to ruin the Republican Party. And they've gone on and on, and finally I'd had enough, and my friend had told me not to say anything, and I wasn't a Trump supporter, but just the nonsense of, like, we're basically rooting for downfall of our country. And I'm like, you're the reason, if you don't want him to get elected, you're the person that's going to get him elected, because the things that you're talking about, you're so disconnected from regular people, and that's where he's going to get elected. And then they got all mad, wow, and told me I was dumb, and then, six months later,
he got elected, yeah, and you whizzed past. I wonder if it was Ken in Great Falls, who did not have an electric vehicle.
Ken's never stood in the line for one of those things ever. You know?
Trevor and Anaconda had his Tesla long before Ken in Great Falls had an electric vehicle.
Sounds like more commitment. Sounds like he was more committed.
That was a great phone call. Trevor, thanks for calling in.
This is Fox on Justice. Chicago has held the title murder capital of the nation for 13 years running. This past year, 573 people were killed, most of it gun violence. One of the victims was Tyquan Carlson, killed just before his 21st birthday. His mother doesn't know who killed him, if he was targeted or just caught by a stray bullet.
I don't wish this pain on no one, because you lose someone, but losing a child, it's like someone snatched something out the inside of you. They took it away.
Last year, Chicago had three times as many murders as Los Angeles, five times as many as New York. Ted Dabrowski, president of Wirepoint, says gunmen know their chances of being prosecuted are next to zero, so they don't change their behavior. Mayor Brandon Johnson says he wants to get the murder numbers down below 500. Critics call that unambitious. For the mother of Tyquan Carlson, that's a far cry from justice. In Chicago, Mike Tobin, Fox News.